Yes, we'll talk about the wilderness of the desert this morning, and Dr. Lam mentioned about here in California, and we have a not very big desert or wilderness. Mention of the Death Valley. Do you know that Death Valley is known as the hottest place on Earth, and it's right in our backyard? Back in July 1913, the record was 134 degrees F in Death Valley. So just a few hours from drive from here, isn't that amazing? So this morning, we will talk about the desert, the wilderness, and what it's about. It's a big, big motif in the Bible, the desert or wilderness. It's very big in the Old Testament, and the New Testament mentioned about it, that as we'll talk about this morning here. And so let us pray. Let's pray as we come to the Word of God, especially in the book of Exodus, about the people of God, the Israelites, how that they got out of Egypt, out of slavery, and they were going to the Promised Land. And as we read the Word of God, it was God's will for them to go through the desert, the wilderness. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the Bible, the Word of God, the Old and New Testaments. As a whole, is the message of God, the Creator God, for us to know your will, to know about you, and to know about the world that we're living in, and to know about us, human beings, how we should live, and how that the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, came to save us out of this miry place of darkness of sin. So we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us this morning for those speakers as well as the listeners, that we together, we hear your voice, and that we live by your word. We thank you, Father. Praise your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the big question for us, for many of us, is that when we follow God and we walk in the way of faith, we follow him. And at times, like today, I believe that many of you are come here in a joyful spirit. Things are going well, it's good, most of the time in our lives, right? But sometimes things can go wrong, you might face problems, and you may even face what the Bible calls trials and suffering. Things are going wrong. Do you wake up in some morning and seem like nothing is right? What about that? If that happened for a prolonged period of time, everything seemed to crash down. Not only that, you're facing with a problem with people are not attacking you, or you feel like you're a failure, and so many problems in life. At times like that, people, you and me, will question, am I going the right way? Is there something wrong? Maybe I should change it? Maybe I should go another way, right? If you go into a time of trials and suffering in your life, and as a Christian, you even ask, God, am I going the right way here? Are you here? Are you with me? Are you helping me? Or when you're doing something for God, you're doing something for the church, and things are not going right, and there's so many difficulties and problems, and you're bound to ask the question, what's going on here? Am I going the right way? So that's what we're looking here in Exodus, in chapter 13. This juncture is an important place for the Israelite people coming out of Egypt. They don't know which way to go. They don't know what the future will hold. And so God was leading the people out of Egypt. And as you remember in Exodus, the first 10 chapters, of course, is about Moses. Remember that God called him from the burning bush, and then he came to Egypt. He performed all these miracles God did through him, and Moses and Aaron. And of course, Pharaoh refused to let the people go. Remember that? And so many miracles happened, and finally, the firstborns of Egypt, the sons, firstborn sons of Egypt, God killed them because of the king disobedience and the people disobedience to the miracle and power of God. Finally, Pharaoh let people go, right? So we're here in Exodus chapter 13. And so Moses and the people are now going out. They don't know what the direction would be. From Exodus verse 17 to 18, we just read. So when Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that was shorter. For God said if they faced war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went up out of Egypt armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to your aid, and you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they came at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud and guided them on the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day and night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So, and then after that, from verse Exodus 14, you see that they will come to the place where they will experience the miracle of crossing the Red Sea, and we all know about that. So at this place right here, that first, the Bible tells us that God has guided the people. Instead of going up on the way, that the easy way, the shortest route or a route, God was leading them through the desert road. And for the reason that God said if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. And so God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. Again, when you in a tough time, one thing, especially you're a child of God, one thing you should be sure that the road that you're going is a divine appointment. When you're in a tough time, when you're in the troubled water, okay, you should know that the road that you're going is a divine appointment. It says here, for God's people, God led them, instead of going this way, the easy way, God led them to the desert road, toward the Red Sea. It is the divine guidance. God said, if they face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea. It was a divine road that God has determined for his people. The same way with us. If we follow God's direction, God has determined the way that you and I are going. So when you in so much trouble, you can't even see the sun, you can't even see the light, and you're confused, you don't know which way to go, usually that's what happens, especially when you're in the desert of life, or the real literal desert, you know, when you're so thirsty and the heat and all of that, you may see hallucination, you may see different things, you're confused, basically, you may be dehydrated and all confused. And we may be in that state of life when we go through troubles. Maybe you haven't yet, or maybe you are going through that right now, or you will be. Then one thing we should know, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, and you're faithful to looking for God's will, you know that this is the divine appointment. This is the road that God has chosen. Be sure of that. It is important. And for one thing, you know, everyone will be facing a problem. One example is David, King David. Now, when you look at David, you look at King David, and you read the Old Testament, and you heard about King David, right? And when you look at his life as a whole, it seems like a really successful life. It seems like everything went well. Glorious. His kingdom was 40 years, and it was... people said that was a glorious kingdom in Israel, in the land of Israel, ever. His kingdom of 40 years, King David. And actually, the people of Israel, they after David, they always long for that kingdom that passed, that David was the king. However, if you want to know David, and you want to know his real life, if you want to know the depth of this man, then read the Psalms. Because in Psalms, you see the real man, David. He was crying. He was desperate. There's times when he felt like the end of the road. He was crying out to God, "God, hear me." And the other day, I was in my devotion, I was reading Psalm 55. It got to the point in David's life that he was so desperate. He's crying now. He's like he feel like it's like the end of his life here. Of course, in Psalm 55, it was about, the background was about Saul. King Saul was pursuing him, trying to kill him. And so David was in so much trouble that he was crying out. Said, "I wish if I'm a bird. If I'm a bird, I will fly out of here, get out of this trouble. I will fly into the desert." So, as you read more and more about Psalms, you understand David's heart and the depth of his life. And you know that his life was not without troubles, not without trials and sufferings. So, the same with us, for many of us. So when we... going through that, remember that if you follow God and you go in a certain road, in a certain way, remember that was a divine appointment. God was in there. Even though things may not turn out right, stay the course. It is God's divine appointment. And it is for people. And Proverbs 20:24-8 says, "A man's steps are directed by the Lord." A man's step is directed by the Lord. God has determined that. Where you going right now? What you doing right now? Yes, we do have free will. Yes, we do have a choice. But in the end, when you look back, if you live a number of years on earth and you follow Christ for a number of years, you look back and say, "Wow, that was determined by God that way. I went through it, and it was God. He chose that way. There's no doubt about it." And the more and more you walk with God, you follow him, you realize that. He has determined the way. If you follow him, you make that choice. And why? Why did God select a certain way for each one of us? Well, God has a good reason for the way of the desert. God had a good reason why we're going through what we're going through. If you're going through a difficult time, God has a good reason. Well, what's the reason? For in this case, for the people of God, he said, "Well, I don't want them to go through the way of the Philistine country for the reason that they will face war. And if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt." That's the reason for the people of God. That's God's rationale. You know, the way from Egypt to the Promised Land, it's about roughly 250 miles. And people say, well, if you go by the your comfortable speed, walking speed, which is about 3 to 5 miles per hour, you know that? 3 to 5 miles per hour. It will take about maybe roughly about 10 days to go from Egypt to the Promised Land. If you go the straight way, beeline, right? Beeline from Egypt to Promised Land, about 10 days, comfortable walking time. But given that the people at that time, about 2 million people, roughly, and there's old and the young, the babies, and the animals, and the lambs, and the goats, and all those, and you have to carry your furnitures, right? So let's say, well, roughly, maybe it'll take a month. It'll take a month to go beeline from Egypt to the Promised Land, right? And also, the way through the Philistine country, it's a beautiful road. It's a beautiful road. If you look at a map, it'll be going through the coastland. Nice. You have the view of the beach. and then it's nice and cool. Beautiful, scenic route. You'll see all the scenery and all the wonderful things. And it's short. And it's comfortable. It's the ocean climate. It's not hot. And it's wonderful. But God said, no, that's not the way. Sometimes we want to choose the comfortable way. But God said, no, that's not the way. And also, most oftentimes we overestimate our strength or endurance or abilities. But God knows how much you can take. God knows how much you can take. Just like Peter said, I die for you, God. I can die for you. Christ said, really? Remember that? Christ said, I'll go with you all the way. I can die for you. Christ didn't say, really. That's my word. But you know the story, right? And when faced death, he denied the Savior 3 times. And he even swore, I don't know him. So God knows us very well. Just like God knows the people of God, Israelites, very well. You know, what level of faith they are. In the moment of being macho, we can say, I can die for you. But really, when we're faced with the problem, will you be standing tall? No, Christ said, remember Christ gave us an example by the sea. And when the sea, some of the seeds fell on the thorn, some on the road, and remember that, and some on the good ground. And the seeds that fell on the thorn on the road are basically the people who heard the word of God, and then when they face with difficulties and with problems, or the temptation of rich and wealth in life and all of that, they fell away. And the same with us Christians, right? You have seen some Christians, and even ourselves maybe, when we face with enough a problem, we quit. We have seen people turn away from the faith when, you know, when they first came in, they go, oh, hallelujah! And they praised up and down. But the first moment when they got the problem in the church, they're gone. You know that. And God knows us very well. God knows your faith and my faith, what level of endurance we can withstand, right? And God knows the people. God said, well, the Israelite, they're not ready to go through war yet. And if they go through that way, even though it's a scenic route and wonderful and nice and coastland and coastline and straight road and beeline and all of that, but they're going to face the tough, horrible Philistine. they're terrible. You know, remember Goliath from the Philistines? These are giants, are big people. And it's going to be a tough battle. God knew it. And in the Bible it says that the Israelites, they went up out of Egypt armed for battle. They were ready. They thought they're ready. They were armed for battle. But God said, no. It doesn't matter how much weapon you have. I know you. You haven't have enough to face the real battle. So God said, let's go the desert road. So sometimes we thought we were overestimate ability. But God knows us very well. And so in his divine appointment, he led you and me through a certain way. When I look back in my 20 years of ministry up to now, more than 20 years now, and I look and I'm so thankful. If he placed the battle in there for me, maybe 5 years into the ministry, I probably would be gone. But he knew me well. He knew how much I can take. And even now, you know, there's some battle that he knows that I won't succumb to it. So God knows you and me very well and how much we can take. So we're so thankful. And so he has a good reason for everything in our lives. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, 1 Peter is about helping you and me to face trials and suffering, pains and troubles in our lives. That's what 1 Peter is about, from chapter 1 to chapter 4. In chapter 1, verse 7, he says, these have come, so he's talking about trials and suffering. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. He's talking about gold going through the refinement of the fire of refinement here, the trials and suffering in your life. And God has a good reason, God has a good purpose for whatever problems you're going through in the faith. Because it's like gold going through this really hot fire, and when that gold came out the other side of it, of that furnace, it'll be a fine gold. It'll be wonderful, pure gold. So it has a purpose. Trials and sufferings has a purpose. It's purify you. And nowhere that thing will happen in the desert. That will happen in the desert. Again, I said that the wilderness or the desert is a big, big theme in the Bible, a great theme in the Bible, in the Old Testament. Of course, the people of God have gone through the desert, that wilderness, and God's will for them to go on that road, to purify, to refine them in a way. And the first reason, because they're not ready for the shortest way. Second reason is that they may be purified and refined. Notice this. They, the Israelites, they went through the road of the desert is by God's will, right? We read it. Let's read in 17 and 18. But they were in there for 40 years. That was not God's will. There was, you know, they wandering in the desert for 40 years. That was not God's will. God's will for them to go into the desert, but not for 40 years. You know, like I said, if for this possession of 2 million people, young and old, and animals, all of that, if they go straight to the promised land, it will take roughly a month. If they go around the way of the desert, probably a few months. It should not be 40 years. But the Bible made it clear that they went there, they was wandering in the desert for 40 years because of disobedience, not because of God's will. So, yes, going to the desert was God's will. But being there and wandering in the desert for 40 years was not God's will. The Bible says that. They were in there because that long because of disobedience. And, but anyway, what is it about the desert? Again, we talk about the Death Valley and the heat and all of that. And when you're in the desert, it is a time of trial. because everything will be difficult in your life, right? Food, lack of food. The Israelites, they complained about lack of food all the time. And remember that? They got manna, and then they still complaining. After a while, they got sick and tired of manna, and they want meat, real meat. And then remember they got the quails? And then they complain about the water. Of course, life is difficult in the wilderness. Food, water, all the time. They complain about water all the time. And everything else. Life is difficult in the desert. But in there, when you face with difficulties in your life and troubles and all of that, it is a time of refining, a purifying for you. Because let's put it this way. If your life is going well, if everything, you got a house, you got a car, cars always run, you never have a cars problem, you know, house never leak, roof never leaks, and everything's going well. You're healthy. You don't even have allergy. You know, my wife and I, we sneeze these days, like terrible, it's allergy. Okay, if things go well like that for you, have you ever questioned life? Right, you don't. But when things breaking down, when you're in trouble, when you begin to question, what is life is about? You know, why am I this? Why that? You begin to question. And as you question about your life, it's purifying, it's refining. And I find that in the time of blunt abundance and prosperity and things going well, my faith was not growing. It's only when I have huge problem. That's when I have to struggle with. And then I begin to ask the question, should I trust in God? How much should I trust in God? Is God really there? Is God with me? All these things you have to resolve with your faith. And that is a time of refining. It's a time of purifying your faith. And whether you will survive with your faith, whether you think God still exists or not, that is the time. So it's a time of spiritual growing. And in the same way here. So it's a big thing in the Old Testament. It's a big theme in the Old Testament for the people of God going through the wilderness, and that faith was tested. What about the New Testament? You know, the New Testament, what about Jesus? Matthew chapter 4. Jesus was tempted where? In the wilderness. In Matthew chapter 4. And you see the difference here. When the people of God, the Israelites, when they were in the wilderness, they failed miserably, right? That's why they were there wandering in 40 years. When Jesus was in the wilderness in Matthew 4, Jesus, by the way, will be the picture of the Israelite in the wilderness. When he was in the wilderness, he came out triumphant. When the Israelites was in the wilderness, they came out miserably, failure. But God said, none of you will go into the promised land, except for who? Joseph and Caleb, right? Only those two of that generation was really committed to me, were really standing in the faith. That whole generation, 20 years old above, entered the wilderness, died. Because they gave up on God, and they have shown impatience, not faithful, and faith to God. God's plan is for the long-term good for his people. In the time when you in hot water, and number one, know that it is a divine appointment. God chose for you to be there. Number two, know and remember well that God has a good plan for you when you're in there. It helps you to stand firm. And number three, know that God has a good long-term plan God acts, whatever God does, it is for your long-term good. It's never for, God is never in into short-term satisfaction. In fact, that's what we're in. In fact, that's what the world is in, right? Hey, give it to me now. I want it now. Remember Charlie's Factory, the movie? I want it, I want a pony, and I want it now. Remember? But that's the way of the world right now. That's where you and me right now, that's where we are. We want something, you know, when I'm thirsty, I want a drink, I want it now. Right? I'm not gonna wait for next day to drink water or something, or, you know, there's some movie coming out, it's so good, I wanna watch it now. And of course, today, Super Bowl. You don't want to watch the recorded tomorrow night, right? You want to watch it this afternoon. I hope, well, anyway, I can't watch it. I'll be in worship down in Fountain Valley. But we want it now. God is not into the now thing. God is not into the short-term satisfaction thing. What he does is for the long-term good for you and me all the time. That's the plan. But we don't get it, you know, because what we're about, human beings, we want it now. And so oftentimes, don't you ever raise up your hand and say, God, where are you? Why don't you give it to me now? I want it now. You know, I need it. I want it now. Not tomorrow. Not next month. But the way of the desert is that we have to be refined. And it may be tough for now, but it's good for the long term. And this is, again, back to Peter. It says this, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had suffered grief in all kinds of trials. He said, for now, a little while, but the good is for the long term. So we may have to go to a little bit of trouble now in your walk of faith. But you will get the long-term good. It's beneficial for you in the long run. So when you go into troubles right now because of your faith, all right, what Peter is saying is just to take it, just to be tough for a while. And it will come out good. In the long run. That's what he's saying here. But Peter's want to tell us that what if we are suffering right now, it is for a good cause, for a good reason, not because we do something wrong, but because what we're doing is for God. And so in 1 Peter chapter 4, from verse 12, says, dear friends, do not be surprised at painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of the glory of God rests on you. If you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any kind of criminal or even as meddler. However, if you suffer as Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God, and if it begins with us, what will the outcome of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and sinner? So then those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. That's pretty clear, right? If we're in troubles right now because of our faith, because we're doing something for Christ, we do something for the church, then it's the right path. Stay the course. You don't have to change. But if you're suffering right now, most of the time I found out personally, I suffer, and it is because of my mistake, because something stupid I do. So excuse me. Right? Do you feel that way? Most of the time, most of your suffering is because of something stupid we do. It's not because for Christ, it's not because for God or for the church. Most of the time, I trace back to my suffering. I don't, you were stupid. You do something crazy, dumb, and all of that. And now you suffer, so you deserve your suffering. And if because of you're the cause of your suffering, then yes, change course. Change it by all means. If you sin, you got to change course by all means. You know? Don't stay the course. But if you are suffering because you're serving God, you do the right thing. You do what God's telling you to do. And yes, by all means, stay the course. Stay in there. Stay in the fire. Stay in there. Don't quit. And what you're doing for God, and you're suffering for it, stay in there. Don't quit. Because you're in the right path. It is the divine appointment that you in there. Stand. Stand up. And if the church is doing the right thing, and things go haywire, and things, and there's so many problems, stay the course. You're doing things for God. Stay the course. Because why? God has a long-term plan. So if, you know, the roof falling down, you know, tornado coming, earth shaking, all of that, stay the course. If you're doing things for God, stay the course. Because what it says here in 1 Peter again, chapter 4, in verse 19, so then if those who suffered according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. So seek God's guidance and commit your way to His way. And I'm sure you remember this verse, right? This verse should be memorized many times. We know this. But the thing is, are we living it or acting it or applying it or really sticking with it? That's another matter, right? Knowing it is one thing. Doing it is a different thing. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Most of the time, we want to choose a different way. The easy way, the shortest way, the most wonderful way. It's not always good. God knows what we need. But if you have a question, am I doing it right? Am I going the right way? If you're doing things for God, then stay the course. Again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, it said, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. You know, there are times you have a question when you're in the church, you serve God, and there's so much problems, and you say, why? You know, I'm doing things for God. Why people are opposing me? Why do I suffer all of this or that? Peter says, don't be surprised. It's not strange. It's not like something strange happened. It's not like it never happened before. It have happened in million times in the past, in the ancient of time, in the modern time, in the present time, in all times. That's the way it is. And oftentimes, you know, I question, but why am I doing for God, doing things for God? Why do people hate me? Have you ever questioned that? what do I do? I'm just doing things for God. Why do people hate me? Have you ever questioned that? Or if you witness to someone, you tell someone about Christ, and then the person turn around, he or she just want to slap you on the face almost. And you have a question, what do I do? All I want is good for you. All I want is to tell you about Christ. What have I done? That is bad. That you want to hit me. That you, some people, they even want to kill you. If you want to tell them about Christ. And so Peter says, it's not strange. Don't think it's something strange that happened to you. That's what he's saying. When you're suffering for Christ, it's not something strange that happened to you. Because why? Hey, Apostle Paul suffered before. Apostle Peter suffered before. And our Lord Jesus Christ suffered. What did he do wrong? But people killed him, right? And so Peter said, don't consider that strange. It happened before. And so, stay the course. If you examine yourselves, I don't do anything that's sinful here. I just serve the Lord righteously. I just want to do things for God. And things happen to me like this. It's not strange. People in the past, the old saints of the past, endure that. And even the Lord Jesus did. He suffered for doing good. And so am I. And so are you, right? And, well, maybe some of you, you're not suffering at all. So this morning, I've been very boring, right? You know, what is Pastor, what are you talking about? My life is good. Good for you. Wonderful, praise the Lord. I'm just speaking to someone who is maybe in the past suffered or now suffering. But I'm sure in the future, if you are faithful to the Lord, you are faced with problems. And sometimes you even ask, what have I done? I haven't done anything wrong. I haven't done anything, but yet things like this happening to me. So remember today, remember the word of God. It's not something strange. And if you do good things for God, stay the course. Bad things happen to good people. But we have a good God. He's good to us. See, he cares. He cared for the Israelite people. He led them the way. He knew their faith. He knew what they could take and what they could not. Just like for you and me. He knows. He knows how much we can take. So like a good father or a good shepherd, he guided you and me through the path. That in the end, what's his goal? The goal is that our faith will be as good as gold and to the glory of God. So let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord Jesus. For you're the good shepherd. And your promise that you'll be with us. You promise that you'll be with us even until the end of the age. And pray, O Lord, that we will continue to look up to you. As the people of God and as the Israelites, they saw the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night to lead them in the way. And so we're so thankful, Lord, that you're leading the way. Even some of us here may be in deep trouble or going through pain and suffering. For the faith, we pray that you give us strength as we continue to look up to you as we move forward in serving you and serving you righteously, to follow your will. And we thank you, Lord, for your word. That's the whole counsel of the word of God that we have today, to be a lead, to be a guide for us to follow. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord Jesus. And pray that you will be with each one of us here. That we as we follow you, be your disciple in this world full of evil and hatred and darkness. Pray that you will guide us and protect us as we continue to be faithful witness for you, Lord Jesus. And that you will use us, each one of us, to be an instrument of righteousness, to be the light for the gospel and the salt of the earth. We thank you, Lord, for this day. And we pray that you will bless the church, the families here, and each individual. And again, we pray that you will give comfort to Bakthang, as we mentioned this morning, that you will be with them through this time of trial and suffering. As you be with each one of us, as we follow you, Lord Jesus. And in your name we pray. Amen.